Good morning and welcome to Victory Baptist Church. So good to see each one of you here this morning. Today we have an exciting message, deals with the gospel. There's a lot of confusion today about what the gospel is. And to a lot of people, the gospel isn't really that great a news because they don't understand it. And they haven't come face to face with what Jesus has done for them. And there's a lot of misunderstandings, a lot of confusion in religious circles. And I just pray that we can just see it clearly from the Bible and what God says about it. For it's His gospel. It is His good news. And we'll just look forward to that here this morning. For a scripture this morning, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. If you follow along as I read, beginning with verse 1 down through verse 4. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which also I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. May God add His blessing here to the reading of His Word. The gospel. Why do they call it good news? Consider if you had a cold and you were battling this cold and it was uncomfortable for you, certainly a nuisance, and maybe it was even bad enough that you went to the doctor and visited with him and he gave you some things to help you. But you know, I mean, he pats you on the back, he says, you know, just get some rest, drink lots of fluids, and you should be feeling better soon, you know. And so that'd be good news, right? I mean, you know, but you'd go home and fine, and you'd get over it and forget all about it. Consider also another person who is really sick, and they have cancer. This cancer seems to be just spreading throughout their body. There are tumors, and they are undergoing treatments, trying to deal with this cancer. They don't know whether they're going to make it. They don't know whether they have long to live. As the cancer spreads and as things seem to get worse and they are sick, they go in for a checkup. And in this routine checkup, they find out that things have been improving. In fact, in the most recent tests, they find that there is no sign of cancer. It's gone. The doctors are shocked. It's unbelievable what has happened. God healed them. That would be good news. That would be great news. For they were facing death very soon. They were facing this cancer daily. I mean, it had interrupted their lives and their families completely as they every day had to consider this disease that was plaguing their lives. That would be good news, to find healing, to find that there is an answer, there is a cure, and God healed them. That would be great news. Many people today don't think the gospel is that good a news. The gospel is just, you know, same old, same old. I heard that. I've heard that since I was a kid, you know. The gospel, Jesus died for us. I mean, So what? Some guy died for me. I mean, big deal. What's that mean to me? I mean, there's been many people who've died. In fact, there's been many people who've died for good causes. What does that mean to me? You know? Oh, what a wonderful display of love. Yeah, well, so what? What does that mean to me? Most people think that way. By the way, the word gospel literally means good news. And this isn't just a gospel. This is the gospel. This is the good news. This isn't just good news that your sister had a baby. This isn't just good news that your doctor's report showed that you have a clean bill of health. This isn't just that kind of good news. This is the good news of Jesus Christ. This is the good news. The main reason that people do not realize that the gospel is good news is they have not realized their condition. They have not realized the disease that they have in their body. My friend, we have a disease. And this disease that every one of us has is a disease that not only plagues us in this life, though we try to manage with it, but it is a disease, my friend, that will plague you after death. Long after they have your funeral, this disease will continue to plague you. The disease of sin. You see, most people will acknowledge that they're sinners. They realize that. But to most people, sin isn't a big deal. Sin is really, you know, I mean, they've sinned. Sure, they know that they've done wrong. But they just feel somehow it's not that big a deal. I mean, sure, there may be some sinners in the world, but you know what? I'm not that bad a person. And so they feel that they're fine and it's not a big deal. Some people feel that they might actually be good enough to simply be able to earn heaven and in fact to deserve to go to heaven. And so some people feel that their good works are good enough and are going to take them there. They figure that, you know, most people are going to heaven. I mean, you know, surely a loving God is not going to send a whole bunch of people to hell. And so they feel that, you know, they probably are going to make it. Turn, if you will, to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 1, beginning with verse 18. Here we find that God doesn't have a casual attitude about sin. But in fact, in Romans chapter 1 and verse 18, the Bible tells us that God is angry against sinful man. So look at it here, Romans 1 and verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. God says here in this passage, the Bible reveals to us that God is upset. That God, His wrath is made known from heaven against all sinfulness, all ungodliness, all unrighteousness. He is upset with unrighteous people who know the truth. They know what's right, but yet they are not doing what's right. Sinners. And it says that they are without excuse. And my friend, every one of us falls into this category. We fall into this condition. You know, some among us may say, "Well, I'm better than some people." I mean, look at this fella is in this passage too. Look at chapter 2 of the book of Romans, beginning with verse 1. The Bible says, "Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest." Thou art inexcusable. Isn't that what we like to do? We like to excuse ourselves. I mean, there's some people that deserve punishment, but I don't think I'm one of them. I mean, there's some bad people, but I'm not in that category. They excuse themselves. But the Bible here in chapter 2 of Romans in verse 1 says that thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. We look at somebody else. Well, what sin have they committed? I mean, they killed somebody. But Jesus said, if we hate our brother, we've committed murder in our heart. You see, we say, well, look at what they've done. Look at how they lied and cheated and embezzled. Well, have not you done the same? Have not you lied and broken God's law? Have you not taken God's name in vain as well, O sir, who think you're righteous? You see, we like to excuse ourselves. And this passage hits the nail on the head and it says, why do you think you can excuse yourself, O you who judge? You see, the person who says, I must be better than them, what are you doing to the them, to the one you're pointing at? You're saying, they're bad, but I'm not so bad. But you know what? By us pointing at them and saying, there are some bad people in the world, we are acknowledging that there is a standard, we are acknowledging that there is right and wrong, and I'll tell you, by the same things they've done, we've done. And so that's where what this passage is getting at. Look at verse 2. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? You see, we excuse ourselves and say, well, surely I'm not going to be judged. I mean, I've heard all my life that God is a God of love. And I mean, I'll tell you, I mean, just, I'm pretty good. I mean, you know, there's lots of people in the same boat with me. And so we think somehow that we will be excused from the judgment of God, the judgment that sin deserves. Look at verse 4. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? Verse 4 there talks about how that, you know, God has been patient with us. You know, but somehow we think because we've sinned but have not been judged immediately, we think it's going to be okay. We think God looked the other way, that God is not too concerned about it because he let us by there. But what verse 4 says is that we are despising the goodness of God. We are not realizing that the reason God has not judged us is because he is patient and long-suffering with us. He has given us space. He is giving us time. But the fact of the matter is that judgment will come. And look at verse 5. But after thy hardness and impotent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and the revelation of the righteous judgment of God. You see, friend, when God does not judge us immediately for our sin, somehow we think we're getting by. Somehow we think God's looking the other way. Now, he is being very long-suffering and patient with us. But the truth is, one day God will judge. And the Bible says here in verse 5 that God has a bank account with our name on it. And the name on the account is not a positive account. It's an account of judgment deserved, judgment coming. And if we don't make things right with God, one day that account will be cashed in and the judgment of God will come. Look at verse 6. Who will render to every man according to his deeds. Render to every man according to his deeds. Skip forward to chapter 3 of the book of Romans. Chapter 3 and verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips. whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Do you see the condition? You see, my friend, as we think about the good news of the gospel, listen, if we don't understand our condition, if we don't understand the disease of sin, listen, we think our sin problem, most people admit they're a sinner, but you know, we think our sin problem is just a cold that we're going to get over and it's going to be okay. We don't realize that we have terminal cancer that is flooding through our body and contaminated our whole body. Spiritually speaking, we are contaminated with the disease, with the terminal disease of sin. We need to realize the severity of our condition. Notice here that God has brought the law in, but the law simply shows us that we're sinners. The law says, thou shalt not lie. And every one of us have lied at one point or another, or many points in our life. And we are a liar. And the Bible says in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8, that all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. All liars, Revelation 21, 8. And so we see that just in these few laws that we can think of, that we are guilty, we are blasphemers of His name, for we have broken the command that says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. We are blasphemers, we are liars, we are adulterers, and all kinds of things. You can go down the list and you can peg every one of them on us. For we are sinners, and that's what the Bible communicates here. And we need to think how God thinks about our sin. We need to quit thinking that our sin is no big deal, when God says that His wrath is against sin and against those who commit such. Look at verse 20, Romans chapter 3, verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified or made righteous. There shall no flesh be justified in His sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. It is the law of God that shows us how bad we are and how bad sin is. Look at verse 23. For all have sinned and have come short of the glory of God. Every single one of us have missed the mark that God had for us. The Bible says in Isaiah 64 and verse 6 that we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. We do all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. Jeremiah 17:9 tells us that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Turn, if you will, to the book of Psalms, chapter 9. Psalms 9. Beginning with verse 15. The heathen are sunk down in the pit that they made. In the net which they hid is their own foot taken. The Lord is known by the judgment which He executeth. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. Higgion, Selah. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. Oh, my friend, as we see in this passage here in the Psalms, we find that it's our own sin that plagues us. Listen, many people look at God and they say, God must be a God of love. I've heard that since I was a kid, that God is a God of love. And He will simply overlook my sin. He is just bubbling out with love, and surely it will be okay with me. Listen, that's not the case. Because God is a just God. God is a God of righteousness. And the second thing we must understand is not only that we realize our condition, our sinful condition, before God, but we must also realize that a good God must judge sin. You see, it's part of His very character. He can't ignore it. He can't look the other way. He can't just say, "Oh, I forgive you." No, He can't. He can't. It goes against the very character of God. You see, the fact of the matter is, if we think of a judge in a courtroom across our land, the judge's responsibility is to uphold the law. And if that judge just ignores the law, they are a corrupt judge. Now, if you are a criminal there in the courtroom, and the eyes of everyone are on you, and your case and what you've done is being reviewed, and the judge forgave you, you would think the judge was a good judge. You would say, "Oh, that's great. He let me off from that murder that I committed." But I'll tell you, think about the family of the individual that was murdered. Think about if it was your mother that this individual killed. Would you think that that judge was a good judge? Was that judge fulfilling his responsibility to uphold the law? Well, of course not. That is a lack of justice. And you see, we must understand that God is bound by His own character of righteousness and holiness.